Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Welcome, I'm Ken Rundle, and back with me today is Phil Burrell, Product Manager for Britain and Ireland with Yara Vita Foliar Nutrition. And it's optimizing the value of those products on oilseed rape and cereals that's the focus of this podcast. Phil, you're based in Lincolnshire, but I know you're on the road almost constantly. So let's begin with your latest assessment of the condition, the crops. Any changes from when we last spoke? I suppose that might depend on rainfall, which we know was missing throughout February. But where are we now?
Definitely a big change, particularly if we talk south of the Humber. So if we take a line from the River Humber across to North Wales and down, we've got a polar opposite of February. February, the driest February on record. March, the wettest March for 40 years. And that has been basically coupled with pretty much zero sunshine, which, you know, it's probably obvious that if it's raining, it's not sunny. But that has certainly had an impact on the crops when it comes to the growth stage the crops at, and in terms of winter crops. And then when we think of the spring crops, there's two types of spring crops. There's the spring crops that were drilled in February in good conditions, and then there's the spring crops that are still actually in the bag or only just gone into the soil. Because again, you know, if you look at the rainfall maps, Northern Ireland has been very, very wet, and Scotland above Edinburgh has been quite wet as well in March. So the field work has not happened with those spring crops. So there is two distinct spring crops currently in the ground.
So really, you need to catch up, but a lot of variation. So what does that mean for oilseed rape? It's not going to be the same up and down the country, obviously. Or is it pest pressures that trump anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, we spoke about it last time that there is an issue with larval infestation of oilseed rape, combination of cabbage stem flea beetle and rape winter stem weevil. Across the country, the estimate is around 30% of crops are not going to make it to harvest, which is obviously for those farmers affected, it's horrendous. It's very sporadic, and it's even sporadic within farms. You know, some fields are okay, others aren't. And there is an element of the crop out there where if that central stem has been eaten alive by larvae, it gets to a foot tall, it starts to flower, and it collapses in on itself. There is really nothing you can do. However, there is also a number of crops where the larval infestation is confined to the leaves, actually, to the leaf axis, rather than actually that main stem. And those crops just need some TLC to see them through. And when we think of the nutrition with those crops, as we head towards flowering, magnesium becomes a really, really important nutrient. And it's very linear. The more magnesium in the plant, the higher the yields, which makes total sense because it's all around chlorophyll production and photosynthesis. Boron, we've mentioned several times, it's really important at that stem extension stage. I think the majority of crops now are at or going through that stem extension stage, so they'll be having a fungicide. So we need to then think about nutrition at that point as well. But what I would say is for the crops where there's just some TLC required, then, you know, with things like Brassitrol, when I've reviewed all the trials data, it actually comes out at an average yield response of 6%. So even on a crop that's pretty poor, that's only going to do 2 tons a hectare, you're still somewhere between a 3 and a 4 to 1 return on investment from making that investment in that crop. And that would be our key message with the oilseed rape crops that haven't been decimated by the larvae.
And just to clarify, where's this devastation north and south or going up through the country? Because at one point in a discussion I've had this year, Scotland seemed to be doing not too badly, but there is evidence now that, in fact, Scotland's been hit as much as the south of England.
Yeah, I think particularly the borders, it's moving north. You know, if I think back to, you know, to the last 10 years, it started in Kent and it worked its way up through East Anglia, and we was okay in Lincolnshire and Nottinghamshire. Then we got hit hard, and then it worked up into Yorkshire. So it has moved slightly north. And I think that the surprising thing is the rape winter stem weevil. This has come in. All the focus has been on cabbage stem flea beetle. And rightly, people have stopped applying insecticides because of resistance to that pest. It's the right thing to do. However, by doing that, the question has been then risen by the industry. You know, has that then allowed the winter stem weevil in because we've stopped using insecticides for one pest? I think the jury's out, because having done a survey myself very, very crudely on Twitter amongst growers and agronomists, you couldn't really draw any conclusions.
So when are we talking about in terms of application times and rates for what you've been mentioning there with magnesium and manganese and so on?
Well, for me, our core message would be for those crops that are still going through stem extension, and you're to put that stem extension fungicide on for light leaf spot and growth regulatory activity, then major on that Brassitol Pro product at 3 litres a hectare. Once we get to that early flowering stage, for me, if you're still going to hit more green leaf than you are flowers, then I would maintain that foliar application. If we get to the point where we're targeting a flowering spray for fungicides and the majority of that spray is going to get caught by those petals, you're not going to get the benefit out of the products then. But Brassitol Pro stem extension, and then magnesium is a critical nutrient at that sort of green bud, yellow bud stage. So if you're not doing the Brassitol or you've done it, think about something like MagFlow, the straight magnesium product from us.
But don't forget that if you want leaves, you're going to need nitrogen as well.
Yeah, and nitrogen applications, hopefully, I know particularly with solid nitrogen, there's been a lot of stress on about getting the applications on because the crops have started to move skywards. And obviously, it's all about that spread pattern. With liquid fertilizer, you have got a bit longer because of the practicalities of you've got a sprayer boom that you can put up high and you get that even application. But I'm hoping that the majority of the final soil applied nitrogen applications have gone on. Foliar nitrogens at the end of flowering, that's to come, and I'm sure that'll be covered in other podcasts. But yeah, what I would say to people is don't forget that foliar nitrogen at the end of flowering. Yeah, all the independent data on that says quarter of a ton yield increase from that foliar nitrogen application at the end of flowering. So again, if you're looking to maximize yield, do the calculations and make sure it's profitable. And if it is, and conditions are right, it's another good investment in that crop.
So let's move on to winter cereals now, both wheat and barley, and both approaching the T1 stage?
Yes, they are. Again, varying stages. If we think winter wheat, varying growth stages, again, around the country, dependent on drilling dates, those sort of end of September drilled first wheat, they will be approaching that T1 application around the 15th to 20th of April, roughly. Obviously, when it comes to that T1 application, then that's driven by full leaf three emergence to get the most out of the fungicides. And it generally coincides with growth stage 31, 32, somewhere around there. The only way to know for sure is get out there with a scalpel and dissect that plant. The later drill crops, so areas where they have blackgrass problems, so they're delaying drilling, or after root crops, for example, they're more likely to be towards the end of April. What we did see with the wet, dull weather was that crops actually got to grow stage 30, in some cases around the 15th of March, 20th of March, and then they sat there for 2 weeks and not moved because growth is driven by sunlight and day length, and it was obviously very, very dull. That's a picture of the winter wheat crop where we currently stand in terms of growth stages.
Now, I know you've still got strong thoughts on the number of grain sites. Any more comments today?
Yeah, it's one thing we speak about. You know, when we think of the three pillars of cereal yield, then with the winter crops, that first pillar of ear number is two. We're done. Once we get to growth stage 30, we can't have an impact on that. Between growth stage 30 and 32, that's when we need to maximize the number of grains per ear. And the key micronutrients for doing that would be things like boron, copper and zinc. They all have an important role. But they've got to be applied at that timing between 30 and 32. Again, there's no point in waiting till later. That's when you have the biggest impact. And then other things to think about when it comes to general plant health and just keeping that crop green and that biomass photosynthesizing is things like magnesium and manganese. So they would be the key nutrients I would think about at that growth stage 30 to 32, which coincides with that T1 timing.
Are the key messages very different for winter barley?
Not from my perspective. It's still a cereal crop, and it needs treating the same when it comes to the yields. Yes, the benchmark figures are slightly different, but it's really, really important again to maximise that number of grains. And when barley in particular is a great crop for seeing copper deficiency, when you can see those blind grain sites. Obviously, if you're seeing that, it's too late. The one thing I would say with winter barleys is, as we are recording this today, having spoken to agronomists this week, winter barley tickets and recommendations are being written out now for T1s because the crop is generally just that slightly bit further advanced than winter wheat, and the timings are slightly different. So you generally aim more for a 30-31 T1 as opposed to winter wheat, a 31-32, and conversely, the T2 applications change slightly. So, but for me, it's still about maximizing grain number, those key micronutrients fit.
Well, in terms of timings, I mean, we're going to get a real difference around the country is spring barley. I suppose good establishment remains the priority as far as spring barley is concerned.
Yeah. And for spring barley or any spring crop, spring barley, spring wheat, it's all about that early stage is that first pillar of cereal yield, that number of ears. And critical with barley. So for me, it's critical to get the crop off to a great start. So you want 50 to 60% of your nitrogen in the seedbed. And as soon as it is up in rows, you need to get the balance of that nitrogen on. It's really important to think about other things like, again, we take it for granted, but sulfur to improve nitrogen use efficiency. And potassium can have a big role in barley. Potassium deficiency in barley can certainly influence brackling, and then phosphate for early establishment. So placing phosphate at drilling is really, really important. So the thing is, we have two very distinct crops, those crops that are just going in the ground and those crops that went in fantastic conditions in February in the south. From Yorkshire down, there was a heck of a lot drilled in February in great conditions, but they've sat really, really wet. The first thing to do is with those crops, if you haven't got that second dose of nitrogen on, it needs to take priority over everything else because you've got to build that biomass to maximize those number of yields. That is for sure. And then there's other things we need to think about on those crops where they've sat wet.
I know that next time we speak, you want to discuss potatoes and root crops like sugar beet. But in the meantime, what are your bullet points from this particular podcast?
Oilseed rape. Where you've got a crop where there is some damage, but you've still got a viable crop you take into harvest, give it some TLC. You know, just look after that crop. If you take the view it's not going to yield, and you say, I'll not spend any money, it then doesn't yield, you'll convince yourself you were right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, I'm realistic. I'm not saying chuck the kitchen sink at it, but you know, we know from the products we can utilize at that point, the Brassitrol Pros, things like MagFlow, to maintain that green leaf, they have a distinct function in the plant. The plant needs those nutrients, you know, look after them. When it comes to winter cereals, for me, it's all about maximizing that grain number. And for that, our core recommendation would be YaraVita Grammitrol at 2 liters a hectare with half a liter of YaraVita Boratrac to address that boron issue. For spring barley, if you've not drilled it yet or it's going in, get half of the nitrogen in the seedbed. As soon as it's up in rows, get the other half. For those early drill crops, nitrogen is key. Hopefully, you've had enough time now in April with some nice weather to get that nitrogen on. The only other thing I would say to look at with those earlier drill crops is the root system. If you haven't placed any phosphate at planting, and we've had a very, very wet March, as you just go on the Met Office, you can find it. There could be an argument this year for putting some foliar phosphate on those products. So something like YaraVita Crop Boost. We've seen it widely on winter cereals where we get that early application on at anywhere between sort of growth stage 14 and 21. It can stimulate rooting. And by stimulating rooting, having a bigger root system, we can access more nitrogen, we can access more water, because, you know, let's be real, what normally happens is the weather balances itself. So if we go from a very, very wet March and then we go into a dry spell now with a poorly rooted crop, we're going to have problems. So the only way to tell is go out in the field, dig some plants up, have a look at your root system. If it's compromised, get some foliar P on in the form of Yarrabia Crop Boost.
Yes, don't just focus on today's problems. Think what might be coming in the future. Advice there from Phil Burrell, Product Manager for Yara Vita. And we'll hear more from Phil, as you've said, in about 4 weeks' time. But me, Ken Rundle, I'll be back in 2 weeks' time discussing grass and first cut silage. In the meantime, I hope you found these wee reminders useful. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.